the things God has programmed and planned to do in Israel, as far as the changes are concerned, the different wars, the different battles that are on the horizon and things of that nature. And I showed you phase one and these 17 scriptures. God prepares the land of Israel for the millennial reign of his son. We're about to finish that phase one. That's the reason I'm putting this chart back up on the screen. And next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll be going into phase two, and there are about 25 scriptures, 26 maybe, in that. Then in phase three, God's Spirit. Well, phase two is the Son of God returns to end the battle of Armageddon to cleanse the heavenlies for the beginning of his millennial reign. Then phase three, God's Spirit regathers all surviving Israelites from across the earth, and the millennial temple is built on the old temple mound. Jesus then enters the new temple from the east as the glory of God. There are 29 scriptures we'll be covering on that in phase three, Lord willing. Phase four, the temple sacrifice is established as a memorial to the redemptive work of Jesus, their Messiah. All nations worship the God of Israel and are required to send representatives to Jerusalem once a year for the Feast of Tabernacles. The nation is rebuilt to become the showplace of all the world, and all the millennial prophecies for Israel are fulfilled. And in that particular phase, phase four, I think we have a total of 35 scriptures that you see here on the screen. And then in phase five, Satan is released from the bottomless pit and deceives the nations to come against Israel. God destroys their armies with a unique fire from his person out of his dwelling place, and the millennial reign ends with God creating a new heaven and a new earth, and there are four scriptures that I list on that. So I put all this up on the screen again to remind you that we're going through the different phases from right now through until the end of the Battle of Armageddon, right on into the millennial reign, to the final heaven age. In this phase one, which I began quite a while ago, phase one, God prepares the land of Israel for the millennial reign of his son. We went through all these different scriptures that you see on the screen. We talked about these massive tectonic plates, how they're owned, operated, and controlled by God, how they move and float on underground liquid lakes of rock called magma. We talked about the fact that there was more spreading here along this one in the Red Sea than anywhere else in the entire Middle East, how the pressure that's building up because of the spreading to the south here will eventually cause the whole Jordan River Valley to rip open like a ripe watermelon. We took a look at the actual fault line itself that runs up through Israel. I showed you how those two fault lines, both of them go all the way down to the underground liquid lakes of rock called magma, are squeezed together and held together in place for the power of God. I showed you how there is one offshoot fissure that runs up the plain of Esther Elon, the plain of Jezreel, past the Tel Megiddo. It's there for a purpose in the Battle of Armageddon. We went through all these scriptures, and we talked about what's going to happen, how from the southern tip of the Dead Sea that you see down here to the Gulf of Aqaba, this land of Idumea or Edom is going to be ripped open. It's going to allow the Dead Sea to flush out into the Gulf of Aqaba and drain out the salt content, and it will become a freshwater lake throughout the millennial reign of Christ. So we've spent a great deal of time talking about these scriptures, and we've also gone on into the splitting of the Mount of Olives, which we'll cover in more detail later. Out south of this fault line, you see going through the southern flank, the yellow area is the Mount of Olives. This fault goes through the southern line. It's there. It's on the Israeli survey charts, and I've surveyed it myself. There's another one that comes across the northwestern part of the city of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem here in green. This section is going to move south. This section is going to move north, and this whole section in the middle will split open. Then you're going to have a stream coming out of the Millennial Temple. It'll come out of the Millennial Temple right here. These are the three eastern hills of Jerusalem you see in green. The two western hills, the temple sets right here. The water will come out 4,000 cubits or 6,000 feet, joined with the diverted Jordan River, which will come down the Jericho Valley. Then it will go, half of it will go out to the former sea, and half of it will go out to the Dead Sea that you see here and divide exactly as the Bible indicates. All this will be occurring because of a fault line that God has placed from Geba that you see here, northeast of Jerusalem, down to Rimmon, south-southwest of Jerusalem. Jerusalem sitting right about here. God has put a fault line in there, and he indicates in Zechariah, the 14th chapter, that all the land shall be lifted as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, and shall be inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate into the corner of the first gate and the Tower of Hananel, and eventually it ends up down at the king's wine presses. All this back behind this line, and remember the temple is setting right here. Here's your Geba to Rimmon line you see down here. All this back here will be lifted up. The spring will come forth on the temple mount according to Ezekiel 47, according to Joel, and according to Zechariah in the 14th chapter. It will go out 4,000 cubits, 6,000 feet, right through the Mount of Olives, which is split here, as you see. The Jordan River coming down through here, then half of it will go toward the Mediterranean Sea, half of it toward the Dead Sea. The Bible says, in summer and winter shall it be. So we've been through all these charts and diagrams. I've shown you the actual fault, the bluff behind the Mount of Olives, behind the temple that sits there now. And I've shown you how the water collects on the limestone layers over there, and there is actually water underneath the actual layers of the earth there. Now, we've gone down the stream of Ezekiel. We went in chapter 47. We showed how the waters come down from the house. We talked about the land from Geba to Rimmon being lifted up. That's how the spring is formed. This is in Zechariah 14 and 10. We've covered all these scriptures. We talked about how that water would come down from underneath the temple on the right side of the altar, go out here. We measured it. It does what all limestone springs do. As it go away from its source, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper, and eventually it turns into a great, great, great river. All I'm doing is just reiterating what we've already talked about. In verse 5 of Ezekiel 47, afterward he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not pass over. The water had arisen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. The spring, the water comes out here after the Millennial Temple is built. Well, it comes up first, and that's how they know where to put the Millennial Temple. It goes out 4,000 cubits, 6,000 feet. This is the diverted Jordan River. I showed you the faults that go across there that will cause it. Half of it goes out to the Mediterranean Sea, half out in the Dead Sea. This is what it will look like, according to the Bible. And oddly enough, every geological feature that is necessary for this to occur is right in place to do this. The water will come out of the temple 4,000 cubits, 6,000 feet, go out here. Part of it will go into the Dead Sea. The other part will go into the Mediterranean Sea. This whole section down south of the Dead Sea will be ripped open, and for the first time, it will allow the salt content to be drained out of the Dead Sea. We also talked about the Euphrates River. We talked about the Palmyra Poles and Faults, how it will be diverted across here. That will cause the whole southern section of the Euphrates to go dry, which will allow the kings of the east to come across on dry land during the millennial reign to worship the king in Jerusalem. All these things God put there, all these things God planned, and they're there in order to fulfill the prophecies that he himself uttered, and he's going to fulfill it by his own power. Now, I'm going to talk to you this morning about something that is very important before I go into the rest of this. It has to do with the things I've been talking about. Now, this morning, I showed you a lot of charts and diagrams as I went through this in review, but each Sunday morning, I've gone over the scriptures that have to do with this. Now, for most of my life, I did not understand what was spiritual. I now know what's spiritual. But because for most of my life, I did not know, I can only assume that you may not have reached the point where you fully realize what spiritual means. You say, well, do you think you're some great high mugwump that have risen to some great height above all the rest of us? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, the more I've learned about this, and the more spiritual I believe I've become, the lower opinion I have of myself. I think spiritual growth is when you go in the opposite direction on your own self-opinion and begin to have less and less of a high opinion of yourself and more of a high opinion of God. I didn't know what spirituality was for a long time. And I suppose that some of the preachers, and some of them may be in our work, that put a great deal of emphasis on all the great blessings God will give you while you're here in the flesh if you'll just serve him and be faithful. I don't give a rip about things like that. Oh, my carnal man does. But I've learned some things. I've learned what spiritual things are. And if you have, then good for you. And you may know more about it than I do. And that's fine. I don't mean to put myself on some sort of a plane where I'm speaking down to you and I'm going to teach you some great, magnificent thing that you don't know. But I didn't know this till I got in my 50s. And quite frankly, I know it now and I understand what spiritual things are. Are you asking for the spiritual things of God? I realize when you look at all these different things I've shown you about the ripping open of the land and all these different features, you say, how can that be spiritual? God is a spirit, and God put them there. God is a spirit, and God said he was going to do all these things I showed you on the diagrams. I went through the scriptures. God says he's going to do it. That's spiritual. And you know what that's building up for the millennial reign? That's spiritual. So why do you spend all your time wanting God's blessings now, and certainly God will give them to you now, when the real spiritual things are waiting in heaven? I have not seen nor ear heard, neither entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, when I first looked at Luke 11, 9 through 13, and I was a young man, and when I first surrendered to preach, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you, seek, and you shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. I related that largely to what God could do for me now. In other words, if I would be a faithful minister and ask God to bless my ministry, then God would open the doors for things to happen in my life and for me, for the church to grow and numbers, and the church would be larger, and seek and you shall find. I related all these things to things that God could do for me in this life. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That doesn't have a thing in the world to do with physical things. Will God bless you physically? Yes. Will God help you physically? Yes. Will God do all these wonderful things for you physically? Will he watch over and protect you and care for you? Yes. Will he build a hedge about you? Yes, until he thinks it needs to be lowered. But that's talking about spiritual things. Why did God grant Solomon's request when he asked for wisdom? Because Solomon, from his heart, honestly wanted to be able to rule over and judge his people properly. And he asked God for wisdom to give it. Wisdom comes from God, and that's spiritual. How many times have you prayed and asked God to give you wisdom? And how many times have you wanted to use that wisdom for his honor and glory? And how many times have you sought those things because it was something that God wanted you to seek, and you sought it because it's what God wanted for your life, rather than something you could take that wisdom and use it to impress people, or something that the flesh could benefit from? Brothers and sisters in Christ, when he says in Luke 11:9, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, that's definitely talking about spiritual things. He says in verse 10, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Now he's talking about spiritual things. He's not talking about physical things here. And he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now that's a statement by God that's absolutely true. It has to be. God said it. He's not talking about physical things. If you want to have the spiritual things that God has to give you, and if you're seeking for the wisdom of God, and if you're knocking on the door because you want to understand the Scriptures, and because you want discernment of the Scriptures, then you're asking God for spiritual things, and God will give them. Why? Because it is for the honor and glory of God that you're seeking them. You're not after physical things. You're after God's spiritual blessings. But the question that you have to answer yourself is that what I want? Is that really what I want from God? Assuming that you don't have God's wisdom, and assuming that you don't have God's understanding, and assuming that you don't have God's discernment of the Scriptures, which you know are true, do you have a preconceived idea of what you're going to find when you ask God for these things? If you have a preconceived idea, that means you think you must know what they are. You just ask, and then be prepared to accept what God shows you and what God gives you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you cannot go in with a preconceived idea. And you have to be willing to say, well, whatever God understands, whatever God discerns, whatever God has for the way of wisdom, that's what I want. Expect it to be different from yours. Expect his understanding to be quite different from yours. Expect his wisdom to be quite different from yours. And expect his discernment of the own Scriptures that he wrote to be quite different from yours. Don't go in with a preconceived idea, this has to be what it means. Go in with an idea, I want to know what it means. If you really want to know what it means, that's a spiritual desire expressed toward God. Now, he gives you an illustration of something physical, because he was always giving earthly parables to teach us something physical so we could understand something that was spiritual. He asked Nicodemus, he said, if I have told you of earthly things and you do not understand, how shall I tell you of heavenly things and expect you to understand? He always taught in parables, and he used earthly things to teach a point. So here he gives an example of a son whom a father is supposed to love. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? That's your own flesh and blood. Well, whether you realize it or not, you're the spiritual part of God, and you're attached to him. And you have been eternally united with him from the moment you received Christ. And he is your heavenly father, and he has all wisdom, understanding. He knows everything, and he knows what's best for you. Now, when our children are little, they think they know what's best for them. I knew what was best for me. I needed a 1935 Ford vehicle so I could strip the thing down, put high-speed aluminum heads on it, and drive the thing faster than the wind. That's what I needed. Why? My mother should have realized that. She was just old-fashioned. She didn't understand. But I was a son, and she should have understood that. Right, Brother Shipley? Well, Lord have mercy. When I was 17 years old, my mother, she just didn't know what she was talking about. I needed that 1935 Ford. You should have seen those high-speed aluminum heads, and I stripped it down to where it was so stripped there wasn't even a brace on the steering wheel. And I would get out there and put that thing to the floor, and I would outrun every police car in town. I could outrun everybody. Well, that's what I needed. No, it's not what I needed. And my mother knew a lot more what I needed. Well, think how much more God knows what you need spiritually. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him, if he gave him a serpent? Now, we earthly fathers are sinful. We make mistakes in guiding our children. We know more than our children, and our children ought to listen to us. But even we make mistakes because we are tainted and tainted with sin in the flesh. But even we have enough sense to know to give good things to our son. We won't give him something that'll harm him. You think I'm going to give one of my kids when he's 6 years old a 12-gauge shotgun? No. No, I'm not. And I'm a sinful man. And I got enough sense not to do that. So have faith in God that he knows what's best for you. You don't know what's best for you. Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Well, everybody knows, even a sinful father, if he loves his son, he's going to do the best thing for him. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Now remember, God is a spirit. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Why don't you ask God to help you be more spiritual? Are you afraid? Are you afraid of the consequences? Do you think you're already spiritual enough? What do you think? Well, I certainly don't think I'm spiritual enough. And I hope that none of you think you're spiritual enough. And you see this whole discourse about asking it shall be given you, seeking you shall find, knocking it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. First, he gives you a comparison of a physical relation between a father and a son. Now he's going to give you a relationship between a spiritual heavenly father and your newborn spirit and heart inside you, and the heart being made up of the soul and the spirit. He said, you want more? This was written to people that were already saved. So what it's talking about is, you want to be filled with the Spirit? You say, I got all the Spirit I needed when I got saved. That's the problem with most people. They think they did, and that's why they're so carnal, so mean, and so sneaky, and so snaky. This is talking about spiritual things. Are you saved? Are you a church member? Then why not ask the Father for those spiritual things the Holy Spirit gives you through the teachings in His Word? What are those things? That's exactly what I've been talking about. All these things that have to do with the millennial reign, they may not seem spiritual to you. Why don't they seem spiritual? Why don't they seem spiritual? Well, there's only one answer. You're not interested in spiritual things. You're not interested in the future changes that God has to make in Israel, and you're going to be a part of. You're so tied to this earth and so anchored in it that your heart is so set here that you have an entirely wrong concept of what spirituality really is. Spirituality is based on what God put in Hebrews 11 and 1. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders received a good report. So when you look at 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 14, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. That's a carnal heart, a carnal mind, a carnal eye, a carnal ear. But you're not in the flesh, you're in the spirit. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You see, you had a spirit before you were saved. But you didn't know zip about spiritual things. So now you want to know things about God? Well, you're a man, you know the things of man. But the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And unless you let the Spirit of God reveal to you these things and to teach you what's spiritual, you're not capable of understanding it without God's Word and without being interested in all these promises He put in there. Do you know that most of the Bible consists of the future promises of God? And yet we concentrate in a meager way on every little single physical blessing we can get out of Him here. You want to be healed of cancer because you don't want to die. You want your children to prosper so you won't have to support them. You want to have a lot of money so you can live in a fine house and have all the things you want. All those things are the things of the world, and God doesn't tell you you can't have them, but God tells you, why aren't you interested in spiritual things? I find when I go from church to church, very few people are interested in spiritual things. And if you think I think you're going to roll over and start being spiritual, I learned a long time ago it doesn't happen. But I also learned a long time ago that I'm not responsible for what you do. I'm responsible for what I teach you and what I preach to you, and you're responsible for either becoming spiritual or remaining in the same anemic condition you're in right now. Which things also we speak. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You say, well, you think in terms of right now. Listen, when you're standing over there in a glorified body in the millennial reign of Christ, and you're standing there,
and God has rewarded you, and you've got something to do in that spiritual body, my friend, that's the things that they spoke. That's the thing that they taught, that you might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Those are spiritual things. And yet people say, oh, that's pie in the sky, Brother Michael Murray. Well, it's God's pie, and it's God's sky, and it's God's reward. Verse 13, which things also we speak. They spoke them. They recorded them. You're looking at them in the Bible. That's what the last two chapters in Revelation are all about. Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You've got to be spiritual and seek spiritual things and want spiritual things before God will give them to you. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, verse 14, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know him because they are spiritually discerned. The problem is we follow the flesh too much. This is true of saved men and women. It's true of me. Your natural man constantly leads you to ask God for things you never seem to receive. Why? James 4:3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it on your lust. God help me to know what God wants me to have. And God help me to ask for those things and to want those things. And God help me not to want fleshly things just because I think it's what God wants me to have. Help me to pray and ask God to give me the things that he thinks I need rather than the things I think I need. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's something we all need to get aware of what it is. All this stuff I teach about the future is not just a bunch of lines and graphs on a chart. These are the promises of God. You're a spiritual man, you're a spiritual woman. You ought to be interested in these things because they're coming. They're your future. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I'm just going to read these scriptures to you. I've shown you all the things God's going to do to produce this. But I want you to look at this, and I want you to realize that this is your future. This is spiritual. You see, you won't have a fleshly body there. These are spiritual things. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But yet he told us that he had recorded, that they spoke them. They recorded them. You're not carnal. You're in the Spirit. So this ought to be something you look forward to. And every time something comes up where you have to make a decision between coming down here and serving God and his church or serving your own lust of your flesh out there for things you think you've got to have and things you think are so all-fired important, you ought to look up to heaven and say, Lord, this is more important than the promises you have for me in heaven. Just yell it real loud and tell him how spiritual you are. Isaiah 30:25, and there shall be upon every high mountain, upon every high hill, rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter. That's the battle of Armageddon, when the towers fall. How do you think all this is going to rip open? When do you think it's going to happen? When do you think the Jordan River Valley is going to rip open, turn a raging flood basalt plain? When do you think this is going to be lifted from Geba to Rimmon and produce the actual water? Why do you think God put all this water in behind this line from Geba to Rimmon? When the slaughter occurs, the battle of Armageddon is going to be ended. RIP! The greatest earthquake that's ever occurred is going to rip open that Jordan River Valley. My God's going to do that. And when he does, all this will fall into place. And all of a sudden, that spring will come gushing out from behind where the temple now sets. It will come and go 4,000 cubits, 6,000 meters across. Half of it will go into the Mediterranean Sea, half of it into the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea will be flushed out, and I will be there in a glorified body, and I want a reward. I want to be with Christ, and I want to have a job, and I want to be doing something. But if I'm not doing something for him here, and if all I ever think about is what I can get out of this life and in it, I'm wasting my life. And some of you are wasting your lives because you never have been serious about this. I can tell from your church attendance. Isaiah 45. You say, well, just getting on to me, preacher. Man, I love you. I care for you. It's not that I'm getting on to you. I'm trying to make you understand what spiritual things are. They're the things that God wrote. Isaiah 44:3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon the seed, and my blessing shall be upon thine offspring. Isaiah 43:19-20. Behold, I do a new thing, and it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will make even a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness. The word dragons is jackals. And rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Isaiah 35:6-7. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness and waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. What is this? I have not seen, nor ye heard, neither than into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's a carnal mind. That's a carnal ear. That's a carnal heart. They can't understand, but you can. You can compare spiritual things with spiritual if you'll wake up and ask God to give you an understanding of what God thinks is important in your life, and quit trying to serve God with your flesh. Isaiah 41:17-20. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, the myrtle, and the olive tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created. God is showing you all these changes he's going to make in advance so you can understand spiritual things. And you can compare spiritual things with spiritual. But we are so tied up in ourselves and the world, we play church, we play at it, but we never are serious about it. Isaiah 27:8, he shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the world with fruit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's where I'm going to be in my glorified body. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when we shall see him, we shall see him as he is. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you better wake up to what spiritual things are, because I'm warning you, you don't have much time. Isaiah 55:13, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, it shall be to the Lord for a name, from an everlasting name, sign that shall not be cut off. Isaiah 35:1-2, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even the joy and singing, the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Isaiah 55:8-12, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. That's why you need to ask him for wisdom. That's why you need to ask him for understanding. That's why you need to ask him for discernment. Because you need what he has. And what he has is spiritual. But what you want is physical. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my words be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Listen, it's not going to return void. You've heard it. The question is, are you going to produce something in your life by the power of God's Spirit in you? Are you going to play games with God and just attend church when something else isn't just in your way or more important to you? Brothers and sisters in Christ, you better wake up and understand what spiritual is, because you don't have much time and I don't have much time. I've learned this. That's why I'm over here. That's why I do these lectures. That's why I'm still preaching and teaching. I've learned this. And I'm trying to share it with you. And the reason I'm yelling is because I'm so fanatically afraid that you're not going to believe it. And you're going to waste your life and throw it away because you think other things are more important than worshiping God in his local church. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you, singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Well, God's revealed them to you. There is no excuse for not coming and worshiping God when you are physically able and a conflict arises in your life between the things of the world and this assembly together with us. If you have the audacity, after me being with you 26 years, to think that I want you down here so I can put your number on a board and brag about how many we've had. You don't see any attendance boards up there on the wall. You don't see any attendance boards out in the foyer. We don't pass out little cards so we can tell how many people are here. The only reason that I want you to be here is because I've learned what's spiritual. And God's taught me. I can't live above sin. I'm a sinful man. I'm going to have bad thoughts, and there's going to be a battle between myself and my flesh, the Spirit of God in me, testifying to what's good, and my flesh swearing up and down it's not. And I'm going to have that battle till I die. But there are certain things I can do. You've got the same problem I have. You're a sinner. And you're going to have evil thoughts. You're going to be jealous. You're going to say unkind things. Later on, God's going to convict you. You're going to confess your sins. He's going to forgive you. But when you get to that judgment seat, and when I get there, how can you explain to him where you thought there was something over here when church time came that was more important than being here? How can you explain it to him? You can't. And you're held to blame. Even though I'm a sinner, I can be where I'm supposed to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And those are the things you're going to be held accountable for. I want you to think about those things. And I only want you to think about it for your sake. Because you're the one that benefits from spirituality. But you need to find out what it is. Or if you already know, you need to find out more about it.
Heavenly Father, we thank